This podcast is brought to you by Parent to Parent. Please note, any views or opinions expressed on the programme are of the individual speakers themselves and do not necessarily represent Parent to Parent as an organisation. Welcome to the Connect, Inform, Support podcast, brought to you by Parent to Parent, the non-profit organisation supporting the families and whānau of people with disabilities all across New Zealand. Our next guest is Lorna Sullivan. Lorna Sullivan is the director of Mana Faikaha, the Manawanui prototype for the development of enabling good lives. She has recently returned from Australia, where she was working as director of disability services to support Uniting Care Community to design its service models and approaches in preparation for the National Disability Insurance Scheme. She has a long history of working for change in the disability sector, mainly in New Zealand, and is dedicated to changing the power dynamics between service systems, people with disabilities and their families. Lorna is committed to working directly with people, families and communities to develop approaches that support the lives of people with disabilities and reduce lifelong dependency on funded systems. She played an instrumental role in developing the individualised funding scheme and was active in implementing change within service systems. Before joining UCC, Lorna worked as Executive Director for the Disability Services Act 1993 in New South Wales, with a specific focus on readiness for the National Disability Insurance Scheme and the transition of Australian government services to its NGO sector. Prior to this, her roles in New Zealand included Chief Executive of independent NGO Imagine Better, NZCSS National Services Development Manager, and Coordinator of the International Initiative for Disability Leadership. Joining us also is Wendy O'Meara. Wendy is a connector with the Mana Faikaha in the mid-central region. She has had the privilege of walking alongside disabled people and whānau in many different roles for over 30 years and has worked in both New Zealand and Australia. Wendy is particularly interested in community building, individual and family leadership, and walking alongside people who are seeking peace of mind around what will happen for their family member when they are no longer there. And welcome to the podcast, Lorna and Wendy. Thank you very much for being with us today.
Oh, thank you for asking. Yeah, it's nice to be here. Thank you.
Excellent. So starting with you, Lorna, Enabling Good Lives is happening and it's now Mana Faikaha. Just make sure I pronounce that right. Going back to basics, can you tell us sort of where it all began and the background of these initiatives?
Sure. Look, it really began many years ago, about 10 to 11 years ago. We started this conversation with Tiriana Turia when she was Minister for Disability Issues, and really arose from the fact that over a long period of time, disabled people and their families had been expressing deep concern about the services and supports that were available to them, and the fact that most of these supports actually weren't the supports that they wanted and didn't meet their needs, but they were dictated to and determined by the service system itself. So rather than having a system of support and service, although we talked about person-centred, in fact, it was all system-centred, and so people were served where there was a vacancy, irrespective of whether that met their need or didn't meet their need. And there had been some minor kind of advancements around individualised funding, and some kind of sort of small attempts that supported living and individualised living arrangements taken up by some providers. But predominantly the system itself was non-responsive to needs, unflexible, fragmented, confusing for people, and essentially held people captive to the service system. And so over this period of time, working with the ministry, the framework for Enabling Good Lives was established and trialled, and then the framework for the systems transformation was established, and the role of Mana Faikaha here in the Manawatū is to prototype that systems transformation.
Right. So what's the objective of the new system? What will it look like?
Well, it's difficult to say what it will look like, what we're aiming for it to look like. Essentially, it does a number of things. It endeavours to shift the authority for decision-making around what would make a good life for this person and this family and how they want the supports delivered to them in order for them to attain that life that they're seeking sits with the family, the disabled person in the family. So it's not dictated to by some kind of needs assessment that looked at, well, these are all the things that you can't do and will never be able to do and will never amount to, to who is this person and what are their aspirations for their life and what would make sense to them by way of supports, whether they are supports from informal family members and friends, from community and from funded services to enable them to pursue the life they're looking for. The other two kind of major changes is then once that's determined, the disabled person and their family have the budget and they can choose for a provider then to choose a provider and negotiate with the provider about what they want that budget to deliver on. Mm-hmm. They can go to an individualised funding arrangement or they can self-purchase. So there's a range of options there. And then the third major change is we now have what we call government liaison people in every other government department, so Ministry of Social Development, Oranga Tamariki, ACC, Education, and we can work through Mana Whai Kaha with all of those agencies on behalf of people, and in some instances, not all, the funding from at those agencies can come into the person's personal budget so that they get all their funding into one pot.
Fantastic. So you say you've got actual representatives within each government department an organisation. So how does that look? How does that sounds like a lot of people.
Well, no, it's not a lot of people. We have government liaison people. They are employed by Mana Whai Kaha.
Right.
But are the liaisons between Mana Whai Kaha and the government agency.
Right.
So we've got four government liaison people at the moment and working particularly strongly at this time with Ministry of Social Development. Because virtually everybody who comes into our system touches MSD because that's where their benefit comes from. So people now under the Mana Whai Kaha system actually no longer ever have to go into MSD. It can all be, all of the form filling applications, etc., can be done through their connector within Mana Whai Kaha.
And Louise, I've got a beautiful example of that with a young woman who recently has just moved out of a rest home, and I've been walking alongside her with that, which has enabled her to actually, through our government liaison person and the fabulous relationship with the MSD staff, she hasn't had to even have a conversation with anyone there, let alone go into the office, and everything's sorted for her.
That's fantastic.
And with so it's been a great relationship and a great partnership.
That's lovely. That's great to hear. So where are we at the moment with the system transformations? What's already been agreed and what still needs to be figured out?
Well, we've got memorandums of agreement with MSD, ACC, Education, Oranga Tamariki and Health. And those memorandums are not all the same. For example, MSD, the memorandum with MSD essentially enables us to access everything on behalf of the person through Mana Whai Kaha. With Education, we can access the transition funding to put into the package, but we can't access all the funding, for example.
Right.
So each of the government agencies needs to feel their way into the systems transformation as well, and we need to remember that there is also a whole of government review occurring at the moment, and that will then impact again. So hence the prototype in the Manawatu is for 2 years so that we can try, learn and adjust as we go till we get the system as close to how we want it as possible.
Right, fantastic. So what would your advice be to disabled people or their parents and carers about the system transformation and everything that's happening? What would you advise people to do if they want to know more about it and stuff?
Well, I think if the downside, of course, is if you're not in the Manawatu, you can't access. But you can keep it, you know, and that's most people, actually. Can keep your eye on the website you can join some of the Facebook groups. Yes. There's a disabled persons Facebook group and there's a family members Facebook group and they are exclusive to people to those particular groups. So you can listen to what people are saying and you can contribute. But But what I would say to families in particular is start shifting your thinking. Start thinking about, in real terms, you know, what would a good life look like for you and your disabled family member? Because we're in a position now of not just saying, like the old system was, oh, no, we can't talk about the family. We're here only for the individual. Well, of course, it's kind of crazy because the individual and the family are so closely connected. We now can look at the whole, and we are not bound by some of the rules and restrictions around what money was able to be spent on. So if you looked at the website and you could see there, there's a little piece of information on personal budgets and what you can spend your personal budget on. And basically it says pretty much anything that supports you to achieve the life outcome that because you have a disability, this makes it more difficult, but you can't spend it on gambling, you can't spend it on alcohol, and you can't spend it on anything illegal.
Okay, fair enough.
So pretty much, mate.
This
I think it's
Sorry, carry on.
I'm just following on from what Lorna was saying there, because that sort of links a little bit into the role of the connector as well, is that is the shifting the focus to from the thinking of what do I want into what makes a good life, and shifting it also from that focus of this is what you can have, which is what people have historically had done to them. So, you know, a service or someone has said, I'm sorry, this is all you can have, a bit like a waiter at the table. Here's the menu, and this is what you can have. If you want something else, oh, sorry, can't do that. And that's out of our jurisdiction. We're now saying to people, dream big, think about what makes a good life, and let's then tease it into a process of looking at, well, how do we make that happen?
Yeah.
And I think the other thing, Louise, in that regard, is this process with Enabling Good Lives in Mana Whakaha is not just about government-funded services. This is about how do we connect people to everything that's available. And when we find situations where people's needs and expectations can't be met in our local community, then we go to government funding, because government funding pretty well ties people back into the old system, because that system itself has got a long way to go in order to change and be responsive.
And sometimes the money aspect of it, as you know, parents have said historically too, can actually be detrimental to the engagement involvement of community.
Yeah.
So when you think dollars first, you're actually excluding thinking around who else is in my life or in my community that could actually assist here if only I just need to ask or someone needs to ask.
And I can probably give a couple of examples from last week, because, you know, we've only been operating for a month. But last week we've been two families who historically have had, you know, the carer support funding.
Yes.
But never been able to get carers to have a break. They do have family who would be more than happy to have that, to provide that break for them, but the family lived at a distance and just needed some petrol vouchers to be able to come. So for $50 a week petrol vouchers, this family now can get respite every weekend.
That's fantastic.
It's a fantastic thing. It builds the family relationship. It's cost-effective outcome. The other little example was a man, you know, who'd become very disabled over time. His wife was his primary carer. They were both sort of feeling somewhat trapped. And when we really got to the detail about, well, what would make the most significant difference in this family's life, he said, if I could go a couple of days a week to the Patonk group, it would cost $6 a week. Now, we can expand his life for $6 a week, but under the old system, we would have put in 4 hours home help or something, which had no relevance to his need.
It's quite a seismic shift in thinking for a lot of people as well, to go from here's what's available to how can we make your life better. It's quite enormous, and I guess it could be quite overwhelming to some people to think, well, there's no really any limit to what I could possibly want now and they get a bit.
Yeah. I think it's also an important aspect there too is what you said about the relationship. So it's not about how can we make your life better, it's how can you, what do you identify would make your life better, and how can we walk alongside you to enable that to happen?
Exactly.
We're not in control, and we don't tell you what you should or shouldn't be doing.
Yep.
It's our role to do walking alongside, ultimately walk behind, but never walk in front.
Yeah, oh, that sounds good.
It's not just a seismic shift for families and disabled people. It's a seismic shift for providers.
Absolutely.
In fact, harder for providers to get their head around this because they've been in a position that's not dissimilar to families, really. They've been told by government, this is what you're funded for and this is what you can provide, and you don't provide outside of that.
Yeah.
Now they're saying, hang on, our customer is no longer the government. Our customer is this disabled person and their family.
Yep.
And we need to figure out how we change our service model and our business model.
Exactly, yeah. And I've talked to people about this. Yeah, I mean, I've talked to people about this with respect to the providers, people who provide any kind of service that somebody might want to access with or without a disability. They now have to be aware that they're going to have to be accessible in order to get the benefit of this group of consumers who are coming into the sector. So,
part of our role is also, and we have a limited resource that is a community development person. So part of our role is to work with those organisations really around the question, what supports would you need as an organisation to successfully be able to include disabled people into whatever program you've got? Because the other side of the risk of that is organisations saying, well, yes, we could create a special little program over here for them. And, of course, that defeats the purpose because one of our major principles is ordinary life outcomes and mainstream first.
Yes, yes. So I was just wondering, could providers come to Manawhaikaha and ask you, we want to be accessible, what does that look like, how do we achieve that?
Well, they could come to us. We'd probably then send them to somewhere like Enable or one of the organisations that does that kind of work.
Yeah.
But, I mean, one of the principles that we've got is that anybody who comes to us, whether that's a disabled person, family member, or from community, we don't turn them away.
Cool.
We don't start with the question of, well, are you eligible? It is, what's going to make sense to you and how do we connect you to the most appropriate place, whether that be us or anybody else?
That's it, yeah. So if you don't do the actual work, you can tell them who does, point them in the right direction, as it were.
And make sure they're well introduced to who does and that they're getting an outcome from whoever we've introduced.
Fantastic. So coming to Wendy and the role of the connector, can you tell us a bit about it? What exactly does a connector do?
Sure. I guess we've kind of outlined a little bit of it, but let's just go back to the basics of it because the most important part, I guess, first of all, is around. One is the connector is focused around what makes a good life. And we talked about that and the difference between what do you want and what do you, basically what you can have. We don't ask questions like that. The walking alongside is incredibly important because that's about the relationship building so that we're not actually doing the doing to. That's the walking out front. So the walking alongside. We're very much about taking time to really get to know the person and their family. And that's incredibly important to understand who is this person? You know, who is the family? Who's the person? Who's in their life? What are their goals? What are their aspirations? What are their dreams? What do they want life to look like? So, in essence, and someone said this to me yesterday, of course you ask a lot of questions. You're right. Yeah. Important questions to ask to really get an in-depth understanding of who that person is.
Yeah.
Because we're not going to be doing justice and working in right relationship with them if we go in with an assumption that because you have this disability, we know what your needs are and therefore this is what you can have. That's old.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's not where we're from.
Yeah.
So it's very much about that. Very much about the ordinary, the typical ordinary first.
Yeah.
And doing sometimes actually having to do that asking.
Yeah.
Ask the community member, ask the neighbour. And the reason for that too is that a lot of families and disabled people historically have been harmed by doing the asking.
Yeah.
They've been rejected.
Yes.
So they've said they've felt they've got the no response, and so they haven't had felt welcomed, and they haven't had the confidence to ask again.
Yeah.
So where you can do the buffer of the asking,
yeah,
and asking of, let's say, the Patonk Club or let's say the Mahjong Club, and finding the right person to ask who could be the welcome person to a new disabled person who's looking up saying, I'd really like to join there. So so there's a lot of that around, of course, and around lots of questions. And the other thing I guess we do is we offer a lot of ideas.
Yeah.
So we need to be creative in our thinking,
mm.
and we offer ideas. We don't offer solutions. We're not into solution-focused.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, the ideas we put forward, then the family has the choice, the disabled person has the choice of where they would like to go.
Yeah.
I think the other kind of significant difference from the old NASC process is, with the NASC process, somebody came for an hour and a half and your life was sorted for the next 2 years. This is fine. Yeah, this is iterative. So we come back and we come back and we work it out, and we can put a little bit of funding in here if something's needed, or put a little service there, and then we'll come back and keep working. And if things are working for people, that's fine.
Yeah.
If not, they can just contact us and say we need to rethink them.
Yeah.
So I think we're refocusing our thinking around services being the complementary, the backup, but not the front end.
Yes. So it's a much more social model of making, you know, finding out what the person with a disability feels they need to have a good life, and to help them make the world more accessible, essentially. So you know, and going back to the providers and saying, this person would like to be involved. What can you do to include them? That sort of stuff. So, like you say, a very person-centered approach.
Yes, and it's individual. So every person, every individual is their own service.
Absolutely, yeah.
Thank you.
It's not just, okay, this is our program.
Yeah.
You fit the program.
Yeah.
Every person is an individual service, and we design that around that particular person.
Fantastic. So this is all really very new. As you said, it's only been going for less than a month now. Started on the 1st of October officially. How is it all going? Is it really busy at the moment?
We've just actually literally been overwhelmed by demand. I mean, this is the end of our first month, and we've had just on 300 people request support.
Wow.
And that demand, I mean, I think there's a number of things we can read into that. One is there are a lot of people who are not happy with the life circumstances that they find themselves in, and really want to rethink those. But the downside of that is, you know, we want our connectors to really do the job that Wendy's been describing, and that takes time, you know.
Yeah.
And so we can't overwhelm the connectors, otherwise they just will revert back to old systems because they're just under stress. So
and disabled people and families, Louise, will end up with more of the same old, which is not what they wanted. That's not what the requests were for. They wanted to change. They wanted something different. So we need to be conscious of that.
I think the other kind of thing we're struggling with is all of the back of house systems aren't quite clear yet. You know, we are still developing them.
Yeah.
And so as we're getting proposals through the system is still a wee bit challenging.
Yeah.
And some proposals are getting a wee bit stuck at the kind of final hurdle, and that creates pressure from behind as well. So we're managing that, but we're needing now to be very cautious. And while we don't want to do this, we're having to say to people, it may be a month before you see a connector.
Mm. Yeah, and that's purely just because of the overwhelming demand and this initial rollout.
Yeah,
that makes a lot of sense. It just goes to show that this service is obviously very much wanted and needed. And if this is indicative of the disability community across New Zealand, it's huge. It's a huge positive, even though it's overwhelming, it's quite positive that lots of people are going, yes, this is what we need at last.
Yeah.
And I think people also, you know, they will test the system. Is the system actually going to be able to deliver what it's promised?
Yeah.
Unless we are careful about managing the capacity of connectors, it won't.
Yeah.
So we just do have to be highly conscious of that. And, you know, the reality is disabled people and families are very tolerant.
Yeah.
That they've been in this situation now most of their lives, most of them, and here's an opportunity. And they just definitely do not want to miss out on this opportunity.
Yeah, for sure.
I think also, Louise, wherever we can, we've endeavoured to make the contact as well, but to say to the person or the family, you know, we're not able to meet with you until maybe next month. Is that okay? You know, just to make sure that people know that we're there and we will be in contact and not to leave them high and dry, but we're not going to be able to respond immediately.
Yeah. Yeah,
being respectful of their of their request, but also being respectful of where we're at with the demand and the need for the connection to take that time.
Yeah, and I think people would be understanding. This is a brand new system. Yeah. It's a prototype. And like you said, as long as you keep them informed as much as possible that, hey, this is going to take a little longer. We've got a lot of people to work with, but we've heard you. We'll be with you as soon as we can. I think people will be
and
quite...
And Lorna does that through Lorna does that through our Manawha Kaha.
Yeah. So just going back to the actual role of connectors, I understand that there's three different options for choosing a connector when it comes round to it. How could you tell us a bit about those, how it all works?
So we've got connectors that are employed by the Ministry of Health. So we've got 17 of connectors, and those connectors are all up on the website for Manawha Kaha. And then we've got the contract connectors. So that RFQ for the contract connectors has gone out, and that's still in process now with the ministry.
Yep.
And we've got the people having the choice of their own connector. They might have identified some of themselves who they would like to have as their connector. And that then involves a discussion between the connector, the family, and with Lorna and Rachel. And I've had two people, one disabled man and one family, come and ask about being their own connectors.
Yeah.
So acting on their own behalf. Yeah. And that's also possible. It's just really getting an understanding of what support they would need if they go through to a funded package.
Yeah.
So that it's smooth and easy, because, you know, one of our principles is easy to use. Not quite sure we're entirely there, but we'll keep shaping that as we go, try and adjust.
Sure. So
On the website, too, Louise, it just gives a little bit of a profile of each of the connectors.
Yes.
And also an indication of their availability as well, of course.
Yeah.
So people are quite welcome to go onto that site, read the profile, listen to the video, and, you know, in terms of nominate someone who they think they'd like to work with.
Yeah.
It might not always be possible, but we'll endeavour to do our best whenever we can. And this was for the first time I had a woman with an intellectual disability email me and say, I don't like this connector that you sent. I want to change to this person. And they'd obviously been on the website and seen someone they liked.
Good.
And thought they would test their power. And that's great. Yeah.
Excellent. That's amazing that people can have that kind of control over their own choices. It is such a change, but at the most positive change I can see. It's amazing.
So, well, actually, it's about time.
Yes, absolutely. And as a person who is fairly new to working in the disability sector, it when I first learned about Enabling Good Lives and Manawha Kaha, all the system transformation, it baffled me that it wasn't already done that way. It was like, surely this makes more sense. So I'm very pleased to see it's actually kicking off at last and heading in the right direction. So we've covered connectors, and if someone chooses not to have a connector, they can essentially work as their own connector with support from Manawha Kaha. Just to clarify, people can go to the website for more information about this. Is that right?
Oh, yeah.
And so what?
Connector
under the connector tab, it will tell you about what you need to do if you want to be a self-connector. And look, that what's actually happening up until this point is people have just emailed me, and I've been able to work it through with them. Or just yesterday, I met with a mum who's really keen to self-connect for her son, and she just wanted to talk about how does she start, really, and what does she need to do. And we've got some little templates and things that are just like headers that say, well, you need to think about this and think about this and think about this.
Yeah.
And we've got a little template for self-connectors if they're going through for funding that says, basically, it's called What Do I Want the Funding For? And they kind of got that to fill out.
Yeah.
Fantastic. So what I will do is I'll put the website and all contact information on the show notes that go out with our podcast as well, so people can have a look at that and then come straight to you guys. So essentially, if they need to, if they want to know any more about what next, they come to the website and you've got all the processes that they go through there and people they can talk to. Is there a
free phone number?
Yeah, I was going to say, is there a free phone number they can call as well if they don't want to do it online?
Yes, and we have what we call information specialists.
Mm-hmm.
So these are people who really just hold all the information. They don't do the connecting, but if anybody rings, the information specialist will be able to give them all the information that they need in order to proceed. And certainly in the Manawatu area, we have had quite a bit of demand from family networks or and provider groups to come and talk to them.
Fantastic.
So that there's a bit of a face-to-face and they can ask the questions that they want answered and start to build those relationships.
Right. Fantastic. I think that's everything I wanted to ask you. This sounds amazing and I really hope it's extremely successful. And after 2 years, hopefully the entire country will go, we need this everywhere, and we'll roll it out across the country.
Well, I think the disabled community is saying we need this everywhere right now.
Yes.
But actually, to be perfectly honest, it would overwhelm the system right now.
Yeah, exactly.
And what happens when you overwhelm the system is the government comes in and starts making rules.
Yes.
And so we've got to try and make sure that we've got something that the government doesn't feel, oh, my God, we've got to safeguard this and come jumping back in.
Yeah, that's true.
So
that's true.
Be patient. Be patient. I know that's hard for people. but we want to get this right.
Definitely.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
Absolutely.
Fantastic. Thank you very much for talking to us on the podcast today, Lorna and Wendy. We really appreciate it.
Thank you for the opportunity, Louise. Yeah.
Fantastic. So I say we will put the information out on the podcast website, and if anyone wants to know any more, they can come direct to the Mana Faikaha website and talk to you guys directly. Yep. Fantastic.
That would be fun.
Thank you very much. Really. You take care.
Thanks.
Okay. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. So there we have it. That's in a nutshell the current rollout of the Mana Faikaha system transformation in the Manawatu. As Lorna and Wendy said, it is a pilot program. It's going to run for 2 years, and hopefully within that 2 years they'll learn what works, what doesn't work, and they'll have a program that can be eventually, hopefully, rolled out across the countryside. But as they said, we want to get it right. They want to make sure that there are no hiccups. So it could well take time. But it's sounding very positive. So that's all for this week on Connect Inform Support. We'll speak to you again at the next podcast. Thank you so much for listening.
Connect Inform Support from Parent to Parent. Presented by Louise Ratcliffe. Many thanks to WinTech Music and Performing Arts Department. This programme and its show notes are available for download on our website, parenttoparent.org.nz.